Welcome to Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander. Thank you so much for being here with us. I'm Jason Kong alongside Bill Alexander. Bill, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Hope you are.
It's another exciting day, Bill, and we're going to cover a lot of ground today. And I know that we always, you know, talk a little bit about life. And last week you had just gotten back from vacation. Are you adjusting? Well, is your respite really helped you focus this week?
Actually, getting back into the scheme of things. Of course, this weekend is a weekend to try to stay out of the heat. In fact, it's dangerously high. So we can be thankful for air conditioning and shade. They both help.
That's the name of the game this time of year right now. But
Actually, it's awfully early in the year for it to be 100 degrees or close to 100 degrees. But, this is quite a heat wave that we're seeing right now. But I don't mind the heat, actually. In fact, I enjoy it. But you can get too much of a good thing here.
That's certainly for sure. Well, Bill, we want to spend a good portion of today's program discussing planning and how that relates to our children and trust.
Well, obviously estate planning is a big part of what we do. We talk about asset protection, we talk about tax planning, and we talk about basic documents and the BIC. But clearly, when we are simply talking about estate planning, it's like, okay, how do I, or what do I do in order to be able to control my property during my lifetime and then be able to transfer it or give it to my loved ones the way I want to give it to them in terms of when I want them to have it, how I want them to have it, and the like, and to be able to do so at the lowest possible cost. I mean, that's really what good planning is, but it's not, to me, it's not death planning. So many people think going to an estate planning lawyer is about what to do with your property when you die. And the fact is that planning is really about, the first part of planning is how do I maintain control of my property during my lifetime? You know, what do I need for that? And how do I deal with situations when I might be sick or need assistance, but I still don't want to give up control? So are there ways that, or what are the best ways to take care of those issues? And then part of it is, okay, I know that I'm not going to live forever. And I do want to control how my property is passed to my loved ones. That can be, how do I take care of my spouse? It can be, how do I take care of my spouse and make sure that my children inherit my property the way I want them to? Are there ways that I can make sure that they're take responsibility in the way they need to, and even to the degree that I want to make sure that what I leave my children ends up going to my grandchildren. You know, that is, it can be extremely important. Are there things that I can do in my planning that will help protect my spouse? You know, now I'm getting into asset protection. Are there ways that I can help to protect what my child inherits? And all of that is absolutely doable with good estate planning. Now, all of that might not be doable with just simple run-of-the-mill planning, but with good planning, absolutely. You can do pretty much anything that you want to do for yourself and your family with good planning. That's what it's all about. Now, if you do all of your planning inside a will, that obviously is a plan that takes place when you die, because a will is just a piece of paper until you die, and somebody takes that piece of paper down to the clerk of superior court, who probates it and makes it a last will and testament. And you know, frankly, that's one way to do things. And sometimes it's the best way, depending on circumstances. But there's also something called a trust that has been in the law for hundreds of years and can be a wonderful way to plan for yourself, your spouse, and your children and grandchildren. So one of the things I wanted to talk about was why people who want to really do something good for their children with their legacy, why do you use a trust necessarily? And there are lots and lots of different reasons to do that. You know, oftentimes it's not uncommon for us to love a child with special circumstances, special needs, special abilities. You know, they may have some issues where, as a parent, we take care of those issues during our lifetime. And so the question is, well, what happens when we're gone? What, you know, how do we make sure that our child is cared for and has what they need? We, you know, we certainly can't depend on the government to do it. I mean, that's the worst planning in the world. So the fact is that if we have sufficient resources, we can certainly have a plan that, in essence, does the best job possible in replacing ourselves in the lives of a child who needs us. And we call that special needs planning. And that's one area where a trust can be extraordinarily helpful. And, of course, the more thorough it is, the better. And that's just one example, but there are lots and lots of other examples where a trust really makes a huge difference in the lives of our children. And I know we need to take a break, but at the same time, I want to continue on this message of how one can use a trust for a terrific benefit for each one of our children.
The planning that we're able to do for our children can take many, many forms. And as you said, Bill, we're going to get into trusts and we're going to have a thorough discussion on that. And if you would like a personalized approach to know exactly what is at your disposal, I highly recommend that you speak with an elder law attorney. You can do that by reaching out to WG Alexander and Associates by going to WGALaw.com. Schedule some time to speak with a professional. You can also find information about their free webinars. They do these the second Wednesday of every month. And the next set of webinars is happening on Wednesday, July 10th. If you would like to learn more about long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits, forms of financial assistance available to most families who are dealing with a long-term care crisis, this is a great opportunity for you. There's also another webinar dedicated to asset protection and trust planning. Again, we're going to get into some of that today, but if you really want to go in depth, I encourage you to attend the free webinars. There's no cost associated with these. All you have to do is register in advance. Go to WGALaw.com, click on the seminars button at the top of the page to learn more. We're taking a short break, but we'll be back with more. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Learn more about Bill and WG Alexander & Associates by going to WGALaw.com. WGALaw.com. Schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney or learn more about their free webinars dealing with Medicaid, VA benefits, forms of financial assistance for those dealing with a long-term care crisis, as well as asset protection and trust planning. WGALaw.com is the place to go. Click on that seminars link at the top of the page. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander, and we are discussing planning and how that relates to our children and the role that trusts play in this form of planning.
Well, Jason, one of the things that I've learned many years ago, if you will, is that even children from the same father and mother can be very, very different. And one of the differences that I always look for in children is who's a spender and who is a saver. And what's really funny about that is that most of us as parents, we can recognize those traits when our children are about 5 years old. And quite frankly, at least in my experience, what we see when our kids are 5 or 7 or 10 years old remains true the rest of their life. Now, it doesn't necessarily tell you whether they're going to be good with money in terms of good with investing, making a lot of money or the not, but it certainly tells us whether the children are relatively frugal, where they save their money until they have or save it up for something special that they want, or whether it just burns through their fingers. well, and that is something that as a parent, we recognize and can plan for, quite frankly. And again, here again, if we're leaving our children a considerable sum, and we want to make sure that they still have it when they reach retirement years and actually need it, those kinds of things, we can and often do want to use a trust to assist them in protecting. And of course, when we create a trust for a child, at our death or otherwise during our lifetime or at our death, it can be a trust that is an asset protection trust, one where others can't get into it. But the fact is that when we do that, we almost always want our child, the child to whom the trust is created for, to have control over their trust. But sometimes, because we know that they're not good with money, it might be because they're spenders. You know, they're what we call a spendthrift. They can't, you know, they just can't keep their money. Or it may be that our child has married someone who is a spendthrift, and therefore our child doesn't have the ability to keep their money because their spouse spends all their money. Yeah, you know, that sometimes you run into that as well. And so the fact is if we create a trust for that child who has difficulty managing money or just likes to spend too much, we can put some protections in a trust, and by basically requiring a co-trustee or a distribution trustee. And sometimes that co-trustee might be a sibling who's good with money, or it might be one of your own siblings that you're doing it, and they're willing to do it for your child. But the fact is that oftentimes we can call upon another family member to assist us when it comes to a child that has a spending problem. But you do it with a trust, and that can make a huge difference in that child's life. Okay, a worse problem that I hate to say it, but a pretty good percentage of people have to deal with is where you have a child that's addicted. They're addicted to alcohol or drugs or gambling, but addictions are prevalent. It's unfortunate. It's not necessarily has anything to do with the way a child was reared, but it's sometimes just something that has fallen into. It's a tragic circumstance. And obviously, you don't want to give access to money to a person who has a serious addiction issue. And so, again, a trust can be a way out to where that child has no authority to the trust, but there's money that's left on, so money can be spent on their behalf. And oftentimes you want a trust that actually says that we want to use this trust to help them get over or get past an addiction, and so that the money can be used to make sure that they have a roof over their head and nutritious food to eat, and that their health issues are taken care of to the degree possible. But again, a trust is an awfully good way to take care of it. Now, I have to say that most of my well-to-do clients actually do. I mean, you know, the fact is most of our children are normal. You know, they're just wonderful, regular old people, if you will. Sometimes they're even like mom or dad. Not always, but the fact is we hope that our children grow up, they're well-educated, they're pretty good with money, you know, they are saved for the rainy day, and they invest well, and they're judicious with how they spend their money, so that you know that they're saving for the future and for themselves and their children, and you're proud of them, and they're just wonderful. Well, you know, hopefully most of our children fall into that category. And so the question is, do you create a trust for a child like that? And the fact is that the answer is yes in most cases. But, of course, we can create a trust where a child like that does have significant control over everything that has to do with their trust. They can be the sole trustee of their trust and be, you know, solely involved in how much income or principal is distributed to themselves. But the fact is that all of us as parents have one huge concern about our children, even if we think they're perfect. And of course, I don't know that anybody falls into that category, but the fact is we have a perfect child. But, you know, one thing we worry about is we know that the divorce rate is high. And divorces can come, you know, it's typically, you know, it doesn't matter who's responsible. But the fact is that there are an awful lot of folks these days who don't look at marriage as something necessarily forever or permanent. It's and so as a parent who wants to leave property to our child, what we don't want to see is an inheritance, particularly a significant inheritance, being taken away from our child in a divorce settlement or litigation, if you will. And quite frankly, one of the smartest things about having an asset protection trust for each one of our children, even those perfect children, is the fact that if there's a divorce in the future in for our child, that the spouse is not going to take away any of that trust, because what we leave our children in a trust is considered non-marital, and therefore it's not divided in equitable distribution in the event of a divorce. And so to me, obviously we pray that our children never have a divorce, but we know that the percentages are so high that, and a divorce can come at any time. You know, it's not unheard of for folks who've been married for 25 or 40, even 40 years to ultimately get a divorce at some point. And so having a lifetime asset protection trust for our child is a really smart way to go. And the fact is, most of my clients actually embrace that concept because it can be extraordinarily meaningful and helpful to a child. And the fact is that if we do a lifetime asset protection trust for each child, then we can add some really nifty tax planning into the trust that can also make a huge difference in the life of not only our child, but our grandchildren to boot.
You know, I think the divorce example is a really good example of an instance where we may think that we need relatively simple planning, but there's always forks in the road that we don't anticipate. And that's why it really is important that you speak with a professional, an experienced professional who has seen these different forks taken in the road. And, you know, hopefully you're not one who has to experience mishaps or unforeseen circumstances when it comes to planning. That's why you should rely on an expert. If you want to get a hold of the team at WG Alexander and Associates, you can go to wgalaw.com, schedule some time to get your documents in order, or if it's been quite some time since you've had your documents reviewed, you can do that as well. It's a really good idea, especially if you've never had your documents reviewed by an elder law attorney before. Also, if you're interested in attending the free webinars happening on Wednesday, July 10th, you can learn more about long-term care assistance as well as asset protection and trust planning by going to wgalaw.com and clicking on the seminars button at the top of the page. The webinars are free to attend. There's no cost associated with them, and you can attend from the comfort of your own home. All you need is a device with internet access and an email address, and that's all there really is to it. Go to wgalaw.com, click on the seminars button to learn more. Short break and back, you're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. You can go to wgalaw.com if you're interested in learning more about the WG Alexander and Associates free webinars that they do the second Wednesday of every month. The next set of webinars is happening on Wednesday, July 10th. If you would like to learn more about asset protection and trust planning, which we are discussing today, or if a long-term care situation is on your radar and you want to learn more about long-term care assistance, financial assistance for most families who are dealing with a long-term care crisis, whether that's through Medicaid or VA benefits, it's a really, really helpful and educational way to get some information that is really hard to access because so much of what we hear related, especially to Medicaid, are a bunch of half-truths and misinformation. So I highly encourage you, if that is something that is on your radar, to go to WGALaw.com, click on that seminars button at the top of the page to attend the free webinars happening on Wednesday, July 10th. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. And Bill, we're continuing our discussion all related to planning. And we're focusing a bit on planning for our children and how trust can help us achieve that.
No question. And there, quite frankly, there are a lot of estate planning attorneys who encourage everyone to use a trust-based plan rather than a last will and testament-based plan. And the reason they do is, or the justification for it, is that a trust-based plan should be faster than going through probate and court administration. It should be much less expensive, and it should be easier. All of those are good attributes for doing trust-based planning. But I don't fall into that group of attorneys. I recommend trusts when I think it's advantageous to the family. I will say this, North Carolina is not like some other states where probate and court administration is just awful. I mean, it's not only slow, but it's horribly expensive. North Carolina is middle of the road, like it is on a lot of other things. Now, obviously, court administration is slower than trust administration, but it's not terribly expensive. And so for a smaller estate, oftentimes, a will-based plan works perfectly fine. And that's certainly true if you have an Ozzie and Harriet family, you know, perfect children. I'm not sure that Ozzie and Harriet had perfect children, but good children, you know. And the inheritance is modest, you know, where, you know, it's not like a child's going to inherit a million or two or more. But instead, a manageable amount where it might help them pay off a mortgage or some debts or help them in some other ways. But the fact is that North Carolina is not so bad. Now, when it comes to a will-based administration, plus there are other ways to avoid administration as well. But folks need to be very, very careful because most financial advisories and banks will encourage you to have what's called transfer on death or pay on death beneficiary designations for all of their accounts. Well, and of course, retirement accounts always have beneficiary designations. Life insurance always has beneficiary designations. But part of estate planning is making sure that your beneficiary designations work the way they need to work to make your plan work. Because the fact is that if it's not coordinated and not done with good advice, you can end up with a hodgepodge that actually ruins a well-drafted estate plan. Because oftentimes we are doing estate planning for tax planning purposes or for asset protection purposes. And unless your beneficiary designations coordinate with that plan, then your plan's going to be a bust and it's not going to work the way you intend it to work or the way you wanted it to work. And That's the worst kind of planning. I mean, from my perspective, even if you have a simple plan, you want to make darn sure that it works and it works the way you intend it to work. I mean, and that's why you have to be really careful. But I've also seen lots of trust-based plans that have been blown apart. In other words, they didn't work because of pay on death and transfer on death and beneficiary designations or other survivorship options that were not coordinated. One of the sad things is that typically, no matter what kind of estate plan you do, when you go to the bank and you open a new account, that they encourage you to sign a beneficiary designation for that account. Same thing when you go to your investment advisor. And you know what? I've never, ever had a banker call me up and say, Bill, you know, Mr. Smith is in here, and we're looking at signing a POD, pay on death, beneficiary designation. We just want to make sure it coordinates with the plan that you have in place for Mr. Smith. I've never had that happen. So the point is that oftentimes you think that the banker or the financial advisor is helping you when they might be destroying your plan, you know, and that's particularly true when it comes to tax planning. But it can also be true for special needs planning or spendthrift planning or other types of trust-based plans where you want to make sure that your loved one, whether it's your spouse or one of your children or all of your children, receive their property in trust rather than outright. And so that can be a huge issue when it comes to good estate planning.
Being aware of these pitfalls really is key. Bill, you've shared horror stories in the past of some critical plans being undone. You know, it wasn't done, anything out of malice, but it's situations like you said where, you know, hopefully one day one of those bankers do call you and ask you about the financial plan. But, you know, it's so critical to make sure that you are aware of those pitfalls. Get a hold of an elder law attorney if you haven't done so already. Reach out to the folks at WG Alexander and Associates. If you haven't started any sort of planning, now's a great time to do it. If you have in the past and want to have your documents reviewed and you've never had them reviewed by an elder law attorney, highly recommend you do that. Get a hold of the team. Go to WGALaw.com or call 919-256-7000, 919-256-7000. Or maybe if you just want to attend one of their free webinars, you can do that also at WGALaw.com, a great way to get your toes in the water if you want to learn more about some of the things that we've been discussing today. Bill has two webinars happening on Wednesday, July 10th. The morning session deals with long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits. This is critical information for families who are dealing with a long-term care crisis. The afternoon session deals with a lot of what we discussed today, trust, planning, asset protection. It's all covered in that afternoon session, and it's free to attend. Just register in advance by going to WGALaw.com and clicking on the seminars button at the top of the page. Short break and back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be right back in just a bit. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Go to WGALaw.com to learn more about WG Alexander and Associates. Schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney or attend one of their free webinars. Go to WGALaw.com to learn more. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. Bill, we're talking all about planning and how that relates to our children and trusts. And we were just having a discussion before the break related to beneficiary designations and how critical those are.
Well, in estate planning, it is quite often when folks come in to see me and they bring a trust that was created a number of years ago, and they want me to review their trust and make recommendations to them on how they might change the trust. And one of the first questions I always ask is, okay, what do you have in this trust? What have you funded to the trust? And when I say funded, what that really means is that your property has been transferred from you individually, normally to you as trustee. So it's the trustee who, in essence, owns or holds the property. And of course, it's held in a fiduciary manner, but the fact is it's held by a trustee. So that's actually how a trust works, to take it out of your individual estate. So here's the thing. Folks create trusts all the time, and then for one reason or another, they don't transfer any property into the estate. And what I want folks to understand is, if that's the situation you're in, you're not saving any money. In fact, it's going to cost you more money, because then property has to go through your court-administered estate in order to get into your trust, and then you have some trust administration on top of that. So in essence, when you haven't pre-funded your trust by transferring your property to yourself as trustee, or at least having a beneficiary designation to the successor trustee at your death, then because there's only one of two ways of doing that, and you have to have done that. And if you haven't done it, then you end up with your property going through court administration before it can get into your trust. And guess what? That's going to be more expensive than if you didn't have a trust at all. But, I mean, there may be other really good reasons why you have your trust, but isn't it better to do what you need to do so that you don't have a court administration? You know, because one of the advantages of a trust is that what's in your trust is private. It's not public record. And if it's done right, then it is faster, easier, and cheaper than having a will-based plan. And you avoid all of the court expenses, and typically you avoid a lot of attorney fees as well when it's far easier to administer what you've got. So the lesson here is, if you have a trust, even a bad trust, you need to have it funded. Now, let's go to the next level and say, okay, your parents created a trust and they're still around, but you've been asked to be the trustee. And so now you're the trustee. And so many people come and they say, Bill, I don't know how a trust works. Well, the fact is, a trust is pretty simple in terms of how it works. It's a contract. And, you know, the trustee is the person who's responsible for managing the money. Just like it's your money. You know, now it's not your money if you're trustee. You are holding the money as a fiduciary for the beneficiary, which in this case might be your parents. But when your parents die, it's probably you. So the fact is that you need to administer it the way the trust tells you to administer it. So obviously there are provisions in your trust that are going to tell you what is intended. Now, you have to understand that trusts are created by different lawyers with different expertise. Some are created very simple. Some are very thorough. My trusts tend to be on the thorough side. So one thing that folks will see in my trusts always is that I will actually set out the intentions in creating the trust. And that's the first place to start, really, in terms of after you get past, what do I call this trust? Once you get past that, you want to know, why was the trust created? What were the intentions of the grantors in creating the trust? And then, if it's for someone else, particularly your parents, if it's my trust, then it's going to have a disability article in it where it's telling you what your parents' expectations are in terms of your spending their money on them to take care of them. And in almost every case, it's going to be fiduciary instructions on spending their money to keep them as independent as possible and as comfortable as possible for the rest of their lives. And there's some very specific things in that disability section. And then you get to, okay, what happens when parents die? Well, the trust should tell you what to do at that point. And then hopefully it'll have, okay, now who inherits it and how much do they get? In other words, what percentage? And then what are the terms? Do we have a lifetime trust or do we have distributions that need to be made? And so oftentimes the property needs to be divided among the children. But in most of my trust, quite frankly, it's a lifetime asset protection trust for that child. And then, of course, reading the provisions on how that works is really important. And then the next piece that's so important is who's the trustee? Who's going to be in charge of that trust? And what's the authority of the trustee? It's all in the document.
That was a great explanation of trusts, and I think we can all understand now why you're such a big fan, because of the customization that's available to you and why it's such a powerful, powerful tool. If you would like to sit down with an elder law attorney, someone on the team at WG Alexander & Associates, go to WGALaw.com to learn more. A quick break and back. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be right back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Go to WGALaw.com to register for the free webinars put on by WG Alexander & Associates. Learn more about long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits, as well as asset protection and trust planning by clicking on the seminars button at WGALaw.com. You can also call the office 919-256-7000, 919-256-7000 if you're interested in speaking with an elder law attorney or if you're interested in attending one of the free webinars. That's going to do it for us today. On behalf of Bill Alexander, I'm Jason Kong, thanking you so much for listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We hope you'll do it again next week. Have a great day.